Defense Information Systems Agency. They've set up what they're calling demilitarized zones, DMZs, to better secure the Defense Department's unclassified network. These zones are areas between the public internet and DOD's network where certain low-risk applications can live, can do their business. DMZs are part of a broader Freedom of Action in Cyberspace initiative. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, you just heard his voice. He's right here, and he joins us with details on how DISA is changing the defense network security. Packed session there at, you were telling me at,
it was standing room only. It's probably like 500 people plus.
Well, and part of that is because DISA just so important right now. They're doing so many things.
They have such a big role, not just in, just from a cyber perspective, but from cloud computing. So many big acquisitions come from DISA. A lot of interest.
Well, let's start off talking about these DMZs. What are they? How do they work?
Well, actually, the term DMZ, we know that from the Korean War. There's a demilitarized zone out there in the Korean Peninsula. But this is actually comes around cybersecurity, and actually the idea of DMZs have evolved over time. They used to be focused on firewalls, you know, kind of that area inside your network where the firewalls lives. But now it's actually a collection of services to secure both inbound and outbound traffic. Dave Mihelchek is DISA's chief technology officer. He says DMZ's control was exposed to risk and what isn't.
If we're under a cyber attack, we can potentially crank down or crank up, if you will, the level of security for most of our servers inside and yet leave certain critical e-commerce servers open to the internet, still with security controls, but we don't necessarily cut those off.
Now, having a DMZ lets DoD open certain addresses on certain servers while keeping others closed. Otherwise, it's either all open or all closed. And the one-size-fits-all policy, obviously, that's very hard to implement when you're as big as DoD. That idea to create something called a DMZ and more broadly actually came from a famous cyber attack on the internet.
It was Code Red and NIMDA were two big distributed denial of service attacks that took place back in 2001. And I can't remember which was first. It was either Code Red or NIMDA. Whichever was the first actually caused significant problems with DoD networks. And the commander of the JTF CNO, Computer Network Operations at the time, the only alternative he had was to order us to basically separate the Nippernet from the internet for web traffic until systems inside the DoD could be patched.
So, Jason, these demilitarized zones, is DOD, are they using them now?
Actually, they're using it on the Nippernet or their unclassified network. Mihelchek describes some of the early functions of the DMZ.
The initial capabilities were just things like whitelisting, blocking inbound traffic or limiting it to a certain range of machines, and that's actually been up and running on the network for a couple of years now.
But over the next 2 years, DoD actually will migrate all the services to use the DMZ by redirecting traffic through this capability. They're not actually going to move applications and services, but it's just an idea of instead of port one, it's going to go through port three, or so it gets more complicated than that, but right. We're going to keep it on the level that you and I can understand.
So people's eyes don't roll into the back of their heads.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, DISA and the services actually have agreed to on the design of the DMZ, so now it's just a matter of implementing it. Mihelchek says the end goal is better information sharing and better overall security. He says by creating a DMZ, DoD can manage who gets access to what services better based on roles and responsibilities and actually have a more complete picture of the attacks coming against its networks. And when there is an attack, like when he mentioned Code Red, NIMDA, there's going to be other ones, of course, over the years, that allows them to better control, okay, what do we need to turn on, turn off, turn up, turn down?
So DHS and the civilian side has something called Einstein, which is
correct.
Sort of this. Well, are they different?
They're very different. Einstein is an intrusion detection system, okay. In Einstein 1, 2, 3. So that's really just looking at the traffic, who's trying to ping your network. This is actually a part of the network saying this in between the public internet that you and I use every day and their unclassified network, that's going to be an area where we can put some of our low-risk programs, such as, you know, press releases, such as if they have speeches and videos that anyone can have access to versus maybe something that's
Sort of like a sandbox.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Some safer place where stuff you're not really concerned about people hacking into.
Right, and if someone does, you can fix it, but it's not like they're stealing social security numbers or other unclassified but very sensitive data.
So this is, I know DISA have been really looking at how to secure DoD networks under all sorts of attacks. How does this fit into that overall initiative to secure those networks?
Well, really, the DMZs and many of the other steps DISA has taken replaces the current one-size-fits-all approach. Richard Hale is DISA's chief information assurance executive. He said too often IT security was watered down and actually stood in the way of information sharing. There was a big kind of running joke that as one person on the panel today talked about something, they always put into Richard Hale and said, well, until you tell us not to do it or until you slow us down. And he goes, well, actually, we're going to speed things up. We're going to help you make things happen more quickly. And in fact, this problem of watered down security, of standing in the way of information sharing, has flowed down to the combatant commanders, because if one took a risk, let's say in theater, that would have problems or could have a snowball effect on others outside of theater, and the combatant commander said, well, for me, this is good because I'm in Afghanistan or Iraq, right. But for the combatant commander, let's say in Germany or Japan or wherever, they may say, well, I don't want to take that risk, and they didn't have that ability to differentiate. So the DMZs and these other steps are part of General Stilton, commander of U.S. Strategic Command, his goal to promote what he calls freedom of action in cyberspace. Hale said DoD is trying to figure out how best to do that, and the DMZ effort actually was an attempt to do some of that.
Ability to set policy by mission rather than assuming that you just have a one-size-fits-all perimeter defense policy should be able to give different DoD missions different policies and keep the risks from moving from one to another. For the bigger DoD information infrastructure, I'd say we're still not sure how this is going to go. In Afghanistan, Central Command chose to have essentially a separate network called the Afghan Mission Network on which they fight. That's one model that the COCOMs are using, or at least other COCOMs are contemplating for their missions. The trick there is to figure out a way to do that and still be able to take advantage of all these great enterprise services and standards and structures that we have in the big DoD networks.
So these separate commands, these separate networks that are being set up by, for instance, the Afghan Mission Command, that's one way to deal with it. The DMZs obviously is another piece to the puzzle. There's several other steps that DISA is taking over the next year to also improve cybersecurity. One of them actually is adding public key infrastructure technology to the CIPRnet or the secret network that DoD uses, the classified network.
Describe to people what PKI is.
Right.
Sometimes they hear that a lot and they go, I don't know what that is.
Right. So public key infrastructure, the idea here is, it's not just you log on with username or password. It's the idea that there's a token, a hash, inside the computer, and it matches with a token or another hash algorithm on a card, for instance, the Common Access card, the HSPD-12 card, or through a token like RSA has those security tokens that you actually have to plug into the computer, and then they read each other and they make the connection.
They're technological keys, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea here is, right now the secure network is obviously secure, but it also there's some restriction of you know, just because you're in the Marines and I'm in the Air Force doesn't mean we know each other, we trust each other.
Right.
Having this additional level of security makes it more trustworthy. Then the other thing they've done, just to set up actually what they call a command center. And so this command center has actually replaced what used to be the JTF-GNO, Joint Task Force for Global Network Operations. That one that got kind of sucked in by the U.S. Cyber Command. But basically, this new command center is giving a 24/7 look at the DISA networks, not DoD-wide, but DISA. And actually, the command center is actually working with the U.S. Cyber Command at Fort Meade. Eventually, as you mentioned, and Scott mentioned in his newscast, BRAC, they're all going to move up to Fort Meade, so they'll have even a closer relationship. But there's a bunch of steps they're taking to say, okay, we're pretty advanced, but how much more advanced can we be? And that's what we're seeing with the DMZs, the PKI on the secret network, and this new command center.
Is there we're going to talk to Jared Serbu later about these defense cuts. I don't hear it in terms of defense IT as much about people talking about cuts. Was there any buzz about those kinds of things?
Well, it's very interesting. Paige Atkins, who is the director of strategic planning for DISA, she took over for John Gehring. A lot of people know that name. She said, we're not going to talk about the efficiency initiative. First thing she said right out the bat.
Right.
She's a crowd of vendors, all hands all went down and slumped in the chair. Aww. But I think IT is going to have an effect. A lot of the things that for instance, Dave Mihelchek talked about was agile development, cloud computing, open source.
Right.
Even the idea of moving instead of saying we're going to buy and develop, we're going to see what's out there. We're going to use commercial software, and we don't want to do a lot to this commercial software. We want it to be ready to go out of the box as much as possible. So I think that's the effect that you're going to see in IT.
A lot of push for efficiency, which is often what you've seen people over the years. We've seen, okay, we have to be more efficient. We need IT to actually help us get that done.
Correct, but it has to be IT in smart ways. We can't just, the Big Bang Theory no longer is in vogue in the least bit. So that's why the agile development, we're going to do a series of systems, make sure they work, move on. In fact, very interesting, Dave Mihalchuk said, we're going to take a Web 2.0 approach and put out betas, a lot of betas, and then update them in production. So they're not going to test, and test again. They're going to say, okay, we think it's good enough. Use it. Tell us what you think. Okay, it needs to be fixed. This is the way we'll fix it.
We only have about a minute left, but you mentioned early on a lot of people there, a standing room only crowd, a lot of people wanting to see what DISA has to say. DISA really growing in prominence over the last 5-7 years.
Absolutely.
Why?
I think there's a couple things that are happening. The push for enterprise-wide services are coming from, you're seeing this across the government, but in DOD especially, DISA is the provider. Should the Army be in control of email? Well, that made me the Navy mad. Well, should the Air Force be in charge of cyber? Well, we saw what happened. All of a sudden, we have a U.S. Cyber Command.
Right.
So DISA is kind of that, if you will, neutral third party that makes everybody happy and they can bring everyone together. In many ways, DISA has taken on a very similar role to the General Services Administration does for civilian, being that kind of one-stop shop for a lot of, not just, well, in DISA's case, technology needs.
Right.
Obviously, GSA does a lot more.
And it-